call this meeting of the Tinley County Transportation Advisory Board to order. We'll start with a roll call. Doug Mulder.
Ron Newman.
Devin Huff.
Brian Caperton.
Brent Ziegenfuss.
And our audience is
Travis Hyer, HDR.
Ashwaria Witt, Southwest Missouri Council of Governments.
Frank Miller, MoDOT.
Okay. First item on the agenda would be approval of minutes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Second item on the agenda, old business. Anybody have anything? Right. Move past to the third item on the agenda, Tinley County updates.
Currently, we're chipping and sealing. We lack about 15 more mile, having it complete. That'll be 74 mile for the year. We did 11 mile of micro paving. We should be done with the countywide patching by the end of the week. We've got the design work being done for the Bear Creek Bridge. Everybody knew, that we're going to be doing a different alignment on and safety improvement. It shouldn't be underwater once we get done with it. We're working towards getting one for Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road. Be the last bridge on that road that we need to do. It'll have a different alignment too. Right now it's got a 90 degree corner on each end. And yeah, that's pretty well it.
Once you guys do that bridge, is there any talk of chip and sealing the rest of that?
On which one?
Like on the Pro Tem Cedar Creek.
Well,
it's working behind
the scene on that, on the switchbacks on the gravel part of getting right away to where it can go right down the power line and connect up the Frank Gray Road.
Once they open that new power line, you look at it and go, oh.
I've already got the clearance from the power company, KMO, and I've got to work with the property owner. It's one property owner that I'll have to deal with a doctor, but I don't see as he would have an issue going down the power line, because he would get all the remainder of what we have back.
Yeah.
And that would require probably at least two big box culvert structures rather than a bridge, and it would be a straight shot. Safer for the people.
That would make that a lot.
The power line company was all over it when I'm doing maintenance on the line.
Yeah, that'd make it a lot easier for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But again, I'm working on that. I haven't really.
Because you're right, was a little tight trip, which Mark Twain sends a bus through there every day. You know, it's what you meet somebody, it's somebody's backing up. You know, it's what.
But it would start on the Cedar Creek end where we quit chipping.
Yeah.
From there, right down. Probably in between the power line span and to the lower side of the power line all the way up to Frank Creek.
That'd be nice.
That Bear Creek Bridge, are they going to build up a road up above it?
Well,
where it floods 5 feet deep?
Yeah, we're looking at different options on maybe raising that part of the road up to that corner.
Well, that's going to take a lot of fill if you do.
Yeah. I'll have to get with the property owner on it and talk to them. I don't see why they would have issue, because none of that's buildable. You know, it'd be a safety improvement. By the time I'm gone in another year and a half, I should have about every bridge that would be required in the county to be done. So, and that's not including, you know, the roads that go right along the creek, you know.
Yeah.
A foot above the creek. Well,
yeah.
Those are
yeah.
Totally different ballgame.
All right. We stand to item four on the agenda is MoDOT updates.
Yeah, there's a few things I can share. One thing that we're working with Ashwarya on, and then the cities of Grants and Hollister and Forsyth, is updating the census urban boundary for federal highway purposes. Those urban boundaries are based on census tracts, which don't always make sense for transportation because we'll have half a road in and half a road out. So federal highway says, they basically have a rule that says we have to work with our cities to make those boundaries more smooth and make them make sense. So we're starting that process, and the way those boundaries look, they actually include not just Forsyth, Hollister, and Branson, but now it includes Indian Point and Bull Creek and Merriam Woods and Rockaway Beach. So you can kind of imagine all that developed area kind of wrapped around by a boundary. The thing is, it doesn't really make a huge difference to local governments. To MoDOT, it matters what flavor of funding that we use, but we don't get more funding. It's just kind of like, okay, we'll have to pull from this pot versus this other pot of funds. But really for cities the size of Branson and Forsyth, it doesn't necessarily make a lot of difference. However, it could make difference for off-system bridge in that when we have a roadway classified as a minor collector, if it's urban, it's eligible for federal aid in general, but not the off-system bridge program. But if it's a minor collector in a rural area, then it is eligible for off-system bridge. So the only thing we have to be careful of is speeding that boundary that we don't have something as that off-system bridge candidate that we want to keep in the rural area. That's really about it. So we're having to engage locals on something that doesn't have a huge consequence to them right now. I mean, you could always come up with a program that would make some sort of difference, but there's currently nothing like that.
What goes into changing the boundary?
Basically,
who's the ultimate judge, and how's it assessed?
So we basically collect those, and we manage them from Jefferson City, and then Federal Highway kind of says yes or no, and they're just looking for did you make the boundary make sense? So we're not supposed to go out and grab whole areas that are not developed or anything like that. But if you see the boundary and look at the census boundary, it can be very jagged. And so it's basically, hey, did you look at this road that's split in half and put it, you know, either one urban or rural? So it's not urban going one direction and rural the other direction.
Do you confer with commissions, like Taney County Commission, on that? Or maybe discuss it afterwards, I guess.
It's kind of been a debate. Do we reach out to the counties too? Since a lot of times they maintain those bridges that might be impacted. Partly that's why we've got SIMCOG involved in our other regional planning partners to help look out for that. And really, we don't have rural collectors on the fringe, I think. I think the ones I saw that might be impacted are in Joplin and Bolivar. I don't think we have any here where we're going to have that situation. So there's really, it's fine to have county comments too. It's just that I don't know how it really impacts anything to either the city or sort of the counties right now on that. So we just want to make sure, like I said, the boundaries.
It doesn't sound like this is a major change or anything.
No, it's very much tweaking. It's pretty much set by what the census came up with. And when they use population counts to distribute any funds, it's always based on the original census boundary. You don't enlarge the boundary and get more money by adding people. It doesn't work that way. It's basically for data tracking purposes, like when the federal level, they say, well, there's this many urban crashes and this many rural crashes. How that crash is defined might get impacted by how this boundary is smooth, that kind of thing. So some performance measurements, some data keeping, but not really funding is tied to it right now. At least funding amounts.
Well, Frank, the one thing, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes if it's going to be urban money or rural money, competition for those two different pots maybe. If we wind up in the urban side of things, and nothing this project process is going to do is going to change that. We're in or we're out, but sometimes you wind up competing for money with maybe Springfield, which
right.
Actually Springfield has kind of unique, they have both pots, I think.
We use that funding distribution term urban and rural, which is not the same urban and rural we're talking about here.
Okay, maybe
it's the old Missouri urban with St. Louis and Kansas City, rural is everybody else, and then
yeah.
Springfield just grew big enough to kind of fit into the same rules as St. Louis and Kansas City. So they also have an urban and rural area in Springfield, but then they have a set of money that we give to that area composite. So there are some federal programs where, like the RAISE program, they will define, we'll give, you know, we're targeting this much for urban areas and this much for rural. And so that uses this boundary, except that they say for this program, we're defining urban as 200,000 more or 50,000 or more. So it's never really been an issue for communities of the Branson Forsyth size. Again, that could change in some future program, and right now it feels like there's a new federal program coming out every week, but nothing's ever really looked at defining rural as anything in terms of that kind of funding program smaller than 50,000, because they really want to target, like, it's really been much, we're trying to make sure not only goes to large cities versus small cities and rural areas.
The bill grants, Tiger grants, those kinds of things, so at the presidential level, they're very sensitive about in the Obama administration, urban got way far the lion's share. In the Trump administration, rural made it kind of a comeback. I'm out of touch with the Biden administration and where that's all come, but there really hasn't been a lot of that.
Yeah, I still think in the recent raise, I don't know if you noticed, they're targeting a certain amount for rural again. I don't know what the amount was, but there is a set aside for those areas.
So sometimes being in that rural box is kind of a protected group, because when you get in with the urban group, our resources can't compete with that kind of stuff. So that's the only.
Yeah, see, Republic applied for one, and they're considered rural because of the way it's urban values drawn, even though they're in the Springfield urban, getting Springfield urban money, because they're outside the developed area, as it was in the census. They were defined as rural for their grant application. And I can't remember the details of your boundary, but I'm thinking that east-west arterial may be rural. No matter how you find urban, it's probably going to be rural either way, because the grant survey is not over 50,000. But even if it were, I think part of it would be outside. So, it just kind of depends on the circumstances. So I think the best thing is you just try to make that boundary make sense and round it off and get.
But then the surprises happen. People never had heard of Ridgedale until a few years ago.
Yeah.
And now it is the center of the universe.
Yeah, it's still very rural. It's way outside the boundary. It's kind of been the center of my universe in recent months, too. So.
Well, that it is. Rural, except for about 9 months a year.
For raise this year, they did 50% to urban and 50% to rural.
Well, that's an even split, which actually then is a leg up on rural, because urban gets gobbled pretty quickly by the giant places.
And they probably define it as 50,000, so we're talking about urban areas 5,000 to 50. So the urban gets confused because we use the term, the definition is so situational. It's mainly when you're talking about transportation. And then in Missouri, we have this initial layer where we have this big funding distribution definition that's St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield versus the rest of the state. So it's just kind of thoroughly confusing everybody. So that's one thing we are working on, though, and we need to get those updated by the end of the year. We do it with every census. We're also starting our district prioritization process, and so I think SimCog's got their needs prioritized and ready to advance onto the district level. Last year, because of inflation, we weren't able to add new projects to the STIP. We'll see what happens this year. Speaking of inflation, so We've had three lettings in this fiscal year, and the September letting was the first letting that we've had since we increased our project estimates last year. And we basically increased project estimates last year 20%. So the overruns in our August letting and July letting were based on last year's estimates, which had not yet reflected inflation. So September is the first time we've seen our new estimates to inflation. Resourcing came in under, which was good. Not a lot under, but some under, and so it's kind of like maybe we're stabilizing a little bit. We had one bridge project and one ADA transition plan project. Both of those came over, but not by very much, not like what we've been seeing. So we're cautiously watching, waiting to see what the future months bring to see maybe inflation's calming down a little bit, at least our estimates have caught up with it. So we'll have to see then how that impacts our ability to do some of these priorities that are coming out of groups like yours. We're in the process of updating our asset management plan right now, which is going to need to reflect these new estimates to see where we're at. Of course, in Southwest Missouri, we lead the state on pavement quality, but we are struggling with bridges. So we need to do a lot of bridge work, especially with the lakes having been built in the late 1950s, early 70s. We have all those lakes with bridges in the interstate at the same time.